ask now if Edie would take roll call, please.
Councilperson Garing?
Here.
Cavanagh?
Here.
Williams?
Here.
Camp?
Present.
Davis?
Present.
Gamble?
Here.
Hanford?
Present.
All right, thank you. Please join me for the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This portion of the meeting is set aside for comments from citizens. This is your opportunity to speak to city council on any issue except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. I'd like to ask that you limit your time to 5 minutes and also ask if you would provide your name and address for the record. We do have a couple signed up here this evening, and the first is Mr. Albee from the senior city.
My name is Mark Albee. I'm the executive director of the East County Senior Center in Monroe. My address is 625 Wilderness Peak Drive in Issaquah, Washington. It's been almost a little over 6 years since I've been the director of the Senior Center, and I've had nothing but positive interactions with the city council and the city of Monroe and their support, not of me, but of the seniors in the town. That you know how important it is to provide for people as they get older. You also are aware that those are the folks that help build this town, and are still very active in what goes on there. So in that spirit, I wanted to just thank you for the support you give to seniors, not just in my 6 years, but since the inception of the Senior Center. And in particular, I want to thank Gene for this last go-around in the lease proposal you're about to vote on, which I'm hopeful that will be amended, will be endorsed and voted in. We went back and forth a few times, but Gene and Bill Davidson from the Senior Center, we interacted. There was a couple of things, but I don't think any of you really wanted to have to let us a note saying it's okay for us to rent the building for the 20th, the 35th anniversary of Monroe High School, and that was implied the first time in the lease, so we made a little provision that we can have revenue generating activities without having to let you know that and get permission from you. I also saw in the packet for today's meeting, there's a resolution to accept this. And these guys, I don't know who wrote this, Gene, I don't know if you wrote this, said some wonderful things about the substantial and growing population of senior citizens residing in the Monroe community. Well, the senior population of this country is going to double in the next 20 years. Double. And it's a huge demographic bulge. And many of the seniors assist upon a fixed or low income, and that's true, and suffer from chronic medical conditions. And the care and support, this is the most important thing that's written here, the care and support of the local senior population is a fundamental public purpose and a governmental priority of the city of Monroe. It's a wonderful statement. I couldn't have written that better if you asked me to write it for you. I recognize that, and so I'm coming to you for another purpose now. You have provided us money for our bus program for the last several years, $9,000 in a line item in your budget. Whenever they do surveys of seniors, I've actually answered the question already, but whenever they do surveys of seniors, the number one issue facing seniors is not medical care, it's not housing, it's not income, it's transportation. Because it doesn't matter how big your shopping is, it doesn't matter how good your medical care is, if you can't get to it, it doesn't exist for you. Our bus has been called the lifeline by people. It saves people's lives, takes them for chemotherapy appointments, takes them out shopping, socializing. We've done over 7,000 rides since we started this bus program. It's a 3-day program, like 5 hours a day. And it's just a one, and since the bus route's been cut on the west end of town, you know, you see those bright buses riding around? Those dark buses are something that nobody wants to do, but they're forced to do by the Americans with the community transit and metro are forced to do that because of the older American with Disabilities Act. But they will only go 3/4 of a mile off an existing bus route. So when that bus route changes, all those people all of a sudden couldn't get their bus. Our ridership increased 29% last year. and I expect it to keep increasing. So it's important to us, it's important to the seniors, and hopefully you'll see forward to pass that in the budget again this year. Just one other quick thing, I know these four individuals I know very well. These three new members I don't know, and I have extended you an email invitation in the past to come visit the senior center. I'd be happy to show you around, just turn down the block and introduce you to some of the folks who make you feel welcome and give you one of our great lunches. So thank you for your time.
Vicki Mullen.
Hi, everyone. Vicki Mullen, 10312 210th Street Southeast, Snohomish, Washington, 98296. I'm here on two separate issues, two subjects on somewhat of the same issue, which is school mitigation. I'm against having it changed from what it currently is, the discount rate. But my other question is, I noticed on the agenda tonight it says school mitigation, but apparently they're still going through the discount aspect of this, because I was at a public hearing, which turned into a planning commission meeting that I thought was just supposed to kind of introduce the subject, but then it turned out to be a workshop, and there was some information given there, and then apparently this isn't what you're going to be looking at tonight, isn't that same issue. It's an issue of a discrepancy in what was charged, both over with one being overcharged and one being undercharged, as far as it not making it from the school's capital facility plan, apparently, to what the city's been charging in error. And my question was going to be, how was this found? When was it found? Is this kind of one of those honest mistakes that get made, and how is it handled once it happened? And that's still kind of the question, but from what I understand, it's actually the school district that found this error and brought it to the city. And from what I understand, it's somewhat probably maybe July or August is when it first came. Normally, from what I would understand from a city, is if you find an error like that, that means you're overcharging, undercharging someone, it's addressed immediately to correct it. And so if this information that I have is accurate, I would like to know why this wasn't corrected immediately upon being notified that you were mischarging. So that's a question on that. And I don't necessarily expect an answer, of course, tonight, but it's a question I think should be raised, and I'm going to put it in email form to Jean, I hope, and get some information on what your process is for finding out when you find out that you're mischarging people, what you do about it, and how quickly you do it. I think it should be handled quickly. The other one would be mitigation fees and what they're for and what they're about and information on them. Now, at the workshop, the Planning Commission was given certain things. They asked certain questions. I think there's far much more information that's available on both sides of this issue, and I hope that the council will have we'll ask those questions and be given some comparisons. The Planning Commission was given a comparison with the Snohomish School District, which is just a one district with school-to-school fee. I think an overall comprehensive study needs to be done from the Snohomish County schools in total mitigation. That includes parks, transportation, and all the rest. So you're comparing what a developer coming to Monroe, is he truly paying a lot more than other areas in the county, which from preliminary numbers that I've seen from someone that's been doing that work, Monroe is not high, even with the current discount fee, or however you want to having only just a 25% discount does not make them the highest in the area. So I'd like to make sure that more information is given. I think this is a rushed job through the planning and everything else. It seems like the workshop, the Planning Commission had a five-page PDF and an agenda online, so a person that was interested in this subject could look at it. It quickly changed to finding a seven-page PDF somewhere else with a lot of changes. Then, 3 hours before the meeting, a 16-page PDF comes down that has ordinance with total changes, formula changes, and everything else, and then it gets changed to a workshop. I just think it's too fast. I think the people that were there couldn't, unless they go out with the information themselves, don't have enough information to be able to provide public input to the planning commission. Now, public hearing is next week. I plan to be there, but I'm having to do a lot of the research myself to show facts rather than just opinion. And so I hope that the council will get far more thorough information so that when they make their decision, they'll have both sides to this issue.
Thank you. Councilor, we've got an hour after. That's all that I have who has signed up this evening, but as always, we'd like to open up to members of the audience.
I had 27 seconds to ask one quick question. It was. I need to have the RCW, and I'm going to ask Jean about it, for the RCW that states why it's how it's possible that the city can actually set a fee different from what's in the capital facilities plan for the schools. But I mean, I don't need it right now, but that's what I'm going to be asking. So, you know, the actual, what gives the authority for the city to have that fee? To change. Thank you.
Okay. If there's any member of the audience who'd like to address council, if you've not signed up, now's your opportunity. You may do so by approaching the podium. Please offer your name and address for the record. And as the others, limit your time to 5 minutes. Okay, seeing none, we'll move on then to the next portion of the agenda this evening, and that is after I call on Council Member Petterback.
Thank you. Mayor, I would ask that we move the executive session up after the consent agenda.
And I'm trying to think of the other subject matter. It had to do
with the grant.
Yeah, facility should the senior center move out and they start sublease essentially. We did a market study on what the office space is going for in Monroe currently. Came up with an average, put that price in there, and then a multiplier that would apply to that in future years.
Okay, and that was the only changes?
Correct.
Okay. That's all of my questions. I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, motion is made by Councilmember Williams, seconded by Councilmember Cuddaback, to approve item number 3 of the consent agenda. Any other questions or comments? Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. Mr. Abney mentioned a few changes as well. Will those work?
They were prior to.
Prior to this one?
Correct.
Anything else? Okay, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, then we do have an executive session scheduled. The council's asked to hear that now. We have two items on the, three items for the executive session this evening.
Supplement the grant that council approved for 2012, which was for $27,000. There's 3 months remaining on that contract, and I just wanted to provide you the supplemental just out of information to make sure that you as the council understood their business practices are changing. They're going to a more web-based tourism advertising and tourism attraction, lodging, overnight stay mode, instead of the bricks and mortar. Nick Bennett's here from the chamber, and several of the chamber directors are here tonight. If you have any questions, and I'd be happy to entertain any questions you may have also.
Jeff, I was just going to say thank you for bringing this forward. I know that their office changed but I'm in support of still funding them through the end of the year.
Councilmember Kim.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the Monroe Chamber of Commerce Supplemental Lodging Tax Grant Award.
Second.
The motion has been made by Councilmember Kim, seconded by Councilmember Gearing, to approve the Monroe Chamber of Commerce Supplemental Lodging Tax Grant Award. Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Move on then to final action number one. That is approval to submit CDBG grant to Sonoma County for sidewalks. Mr. Filer.
Thank you. We have the annual call for projects came from the CDBG Community Development Block Grant. They're due on the 12th of October, and one of the requirements is that the governing body of the agency approve the application before it can be sent in. We've looked at the requirements for the project. The big one being is that it's in an area of low to moderate income, and that basically that's west of 522 and south of Main Street is pretty much the area of Monroe that does that. And so in the past, we've been doing sidewalks. We do the West Columbia sidewalk in two phases, and now next year we're going to do the Powell sidewalk. So keeping with that theme in mind, came up with three areas that don't have sidewalks that are in the area that is eligible for grants. My recommendation is that you endorse the submittal of the application for Elizabeth Street for a couple of reasons. One is that it is a project that can be funded by them in totality. The Park Lane project, while there have been people in the past who've requested that, it is much longer, and they don't have enough money to, we'd have to take all their money in order to do that project, and they basically like to stay around $150,000 for the projects. So that would take several years to get done. And hopefully there would be more money in the future if we went that way. And then the one on West Main Street, there's a section of sidewalk missing, but the problem with West Main Street is that it's not on the same side all the time. And so if we put that sidewalk in there, when you get down closer to the school, the sidewalk jumps to the north side. So you either have people wanting to have a sidewalk eventually or having to cross back and forth across the street to keep the sidewalk in. Unfortunately, CDG won't fund sidewalks on a street that there's already a sidewalk in one side. They figure one side's good enough. We'll give it to people who only don't have sidewalk on either side. So if we do that, we'll get sidewalk, but it'll be on either side. So that's why it kind of drops down lower on my priority list. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Councilor Gary.
Thank you, and I appreciate that clarification on Main Street. I was going to say that was my preference.
Yeah.
I'd certainly like to just, you know, continue the whole thing. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're going to give it to us for this side, like you said, that may be more dangerous.
And then they'll give it to us later for the further west part because there's already a sidewalk on the north side.
I have found it inconvenient that there's not a sidewalk on the south side there when you're
right.
Trying to walk all the way along here. But I certainly understand that if we're getting a grant, let's take it where we can get it. In which case, Elizabeth Street sounds great. If there are any others, thank you.
Councilor Ketterman.
Thank you. Brett, so what's the total cost of the Elizabeth Street project, you know?
Preliminarily, it'd be around $150,000.
And they don't require matching at all. That's what I got at.
That's what I got out of it, too. In the past, they have required 15% match, but he called them this year and they said no. So I don't know if that was the person who answered the phone misspoke or they changed their requirements.
Okay.
So in the past, they have required 13.5%.
Okay. It's in your opinion that this project, Elizabeth Street, has the best chance of getting funded?
Yes. Yeah, because it has the most, multifamily housing, the elderly, and it actually is a good connection from that road. People going, up to Albert, Fred Meyer, 28, things like that. So there's the services connection.
Okay, because I was looking at Main Street too. I was looking at it because of the average day trips, daily trips. I mean, it's quite substantial compared to Elizabeth, but I'm going to support that decision.
Right, motion to be made by Councilmember Cutterback, seconded by Councilmember Hanford to endorse the middle of an application for the Elizabeth Street project. Any other questions for Brad? Okay, then all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
We had not amended the fees resolution to write down what the new fee that was adopted by the ordinance was. So this is to correct that and change the fees resolution to match the fee that was set by ordinance in September of 2011. Since that time, we've issued 16 building permits. And that would be, that's an extra $941 overcharge for each one of those. And Zach,
yes, sir.
We asked some comments about how that could be refunded.
Yes.
That money. And if you would like to know, the city attorney should be able to inform you.
If the council wishes me to say that in open session, I'd be happy to do that. Okay. The short answer, counsel, is that the state case law establishes a very clear deadline for any payer of impact fees to seek a refund or challenge the imposition of the fees based on some type of overcharging. And my understanding is that that period has passed, so there should be no legal vulnerability for the city, meaning that the city has the discretion but not the legal obligation to refund the fees at this point. The state's impact fee statute and the city's local impact fee ordinance do provide for a refund mechanism, but it doesn't really apply under these circumstances. The state law and the local code really tend to apply where the city has failed to encumber or expend collected impact fees within a certain number of years after collection. That's not really the situation that the city finds itself in now. The city, as I understand it, is simply seeking to do the right thing by voluntarily returning monies that were inadvertently overcharged to the developer. And the state and local ordinance that the city has adopted in the context of a refund indicate that the appropriate recipient of the refund would be the current owner of the property rather than the original developer that paid the fees. That doesn't mean you have to do that, but because you're not really required to do anything here. But my recommendation would be to refund it in accordance with that general refund framework, under the theory that the overage, the amount that was inadvertently over-assessed to the developer, was subsequently passed on to the individual home buyers as part of the purchase price. But again, there's no legal requirement one way or the other for the council, so if you wanted to go a different direction, I believe you'd have the discretion to do that.
Councilmember Blaines?
Thank you. So, those are two separate issues. I've got one, which is just amending the fee schedule. discussing the refunds at another council meeting, or?
You can do it tonight if you'd like, or if you want us to bring it back later, we can.
Okay, I just want to make sure I understood what we were dealing with. The question, so all of the 19 permits were for single family?
16 permits, yes.
Okay. And was that money, was the overcharge then also passed on to the school district?
Yes, it was.
So we've, in a sense, overpaid the school district as well? So what's the mechanism for that?
I would defer to legal counsel on that.
And I haven't been asked to look into that question, that counsel. I think that the obvious commonsensical approach would be to formally notify the district by letter the issue and request some type of a refund from the district. But again, I have not looked into that. I haven't been asked to.
Yeah, so I mean, this is the first that I'm sure any of us are hearing about this particular issue. So I would prefer to defer that issue until we get an understanding of what's going to happen on the other end of it too, because we overcharge, but then we overpay. So I want to make sure that we're not refunding and not getting proper refund back from the city as well. So.
Councilmember Tedeback.
Thank you. Brad, is this the only place where these fees are listed? Is there any other documents out there that...
No, just the... The school district capital facility plan
has the correct
fee, and this is the only other place that it's written down.
In our ordinance just says changes
adopt,
it.
Ordinance just says adopt the fee in the school district capital facilities plan.
Okay. Well, I would be in agreement with Council Member Williams to, you know, correct this tonight to make sure we have the correct fee schedule out there, but then have a discussion together with the school mitigation fee discussion, because I think those need to be discussed together, what our plan is. I'll be in favor of that. Maybe in 2 weeks, that needs to be.
Councilmember Hammond.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to adopt resolution number 2012/027, amending the fees.
Second. Motion has been made by Councilmember Hanford and seconded by Councilmember Gamble to adopt resolution 2012-027, amending fees. Councilmember Cannon.
Thank you. Well, I guess I'm confused about what you expect to see in 2 weeks. They're going to find out from the school district about their plan for refunds. In addition to that, the current mitigation issues that we're... The Planning Commission is discussing the...
No, that's a completely... No. What I was agreeing with Councilmember Williams' comment that Attorney Lau had mentioned that he hadn't had a chance to look at the overage that we've paid to the school.
Right.
And before we discuss refunding money back, that we don't have a legal obligation at it, that has nothing to do, very clearly nothing to do with the current issue. This is separate.
That's perfect. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, anything further on the resolution amending school mitigation fees? All right, seeing no lights, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And on, in addition to that, we'll direct City Attorney Lau to look into the options with regards to both payment of overage and refund from the school district. Okay. Moving on here, number 3, resolution amending parking restrictions.
We had a request from a business owner who recently moved into the building on the southwest corner of Blakely and Hill Street, and he's requested 2-hour parking adjacent to his building for his customers. Previously, the parking was restricted to 2-hour just from Main Street, about halfway out to just north of the post office. And at that time when we did it, there was the apartments on the southeast corner, there was the Trailways bus stop next to the parking lot for Thrive, and there were more houses on the west side of Blakely Street were residential. Basically, I think everybody now has a business. They have parking off the alley in the back of all the houses. The apartment building is gone, and Trailways no longer stops their buses there. So we're recommending that the council pass the resolution to amend the parking, or amend or repeal the parking resolution to add the two-hour parking on the Blakely all the way to Hill, and then on the south side of Hill Street from Blakely to the alley west of Hill.
Just FYI, the City Attorney of Wellness has a motion here that he's created. There's a couple of items in the resolution itself that are incorrect, or the motion correct. So if somebody would like to do that, and if the Councilmember Hanford, if he's willing. Any other questions for Mr. Fowler? Councilmember Hanford.
I move that the City Council pass resolution number 2012/28, a resolution amending parking restrictions in the City of Monroe, repealing the most recently enacted previous parking resolution, and authorizing the City Clerk to enter the correct resolution cross-reference prior to the mayor's signature.
Second. All right, motion's been made by Councilmember Hanford, seconded by Councilmember Gearing, as read. Any other questions for the attorney? Councilmember Williams.
Yeah.
Councilmember Williams was the second. Okay, any other questions? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Anything to report?
I'm not expecting.
That's where I'm at.
I just returned from a trip in Virginia, Washington, D.C., and I have to tell you, it's pretty amazing to go to our nation's capital and see the White House and the monument, and it's pretty inspiring. So it makes me very proud to be a public servant. That's it.
Did you go? Was that family or was that a school trip?
School.
It was, no. My son went over there today, great. We just talked about it forever. It's awesome. All right, Councilmember Williams.
Yeah, I will not be here in 2 weeks. I'll be out of town on business.
Councilmember Kim?
No.
Councilmember Davis?
No.
Councilmember Kim?
Good.
Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I just returned from a trip from West Virginia and Washington, D.C. And, I totally echo your sentiment. And it's very, very inspiring to see the rich heritage of our country. So, thank you.
Nothing for myself. Do you have anything further? Anything? Deputy Chief? Founder. City Administrator Bradley.
Thank you, Mayor. Draft agenda for October 9th, 2012. Under business and action items, we have a public hearing on revenue sources for 2013. Study session topics, we have preliminary 2013 budget presentation, presentation on property tax levy information, pre-introduction ZCA 2012-01 North Kelsey Design Guidelines Update. Number 4 is Department Reports. Number 5 is Draft Agenda for October 16th, 2012. Staff's asked to add number 6, which is sewer rates for laundromats. And then on the long-term schedule, we have added for October 16th. Uh, to receive and evaluate complaints or charges brought against a public officer or employee. So it'll be an open session topic.
I was going to say, that's going to be a busy night. Staff, is there anything on there that you see that we might extend out, or would council be open to meeting on the 23rd to meet on a few of those items?
Sure.
You'd rather meet on the 23rd? We don't have staff. Is it, unless there's something imperative that needs to be done on the 16th, have staff come back with a tentative schedule for the 23rd, and we'll have an additional meeting that night, or that month, this month. Okay. All right. With that said, that's all that's on the agenda this evening. So I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. The motion is made by Councilmember Camp and seconded by Councilmember